Thanks for clicking on our podcast. This is John Fraser, and with my partner in wine down in the Cape, Michael Olifier, each week we taste the very best that the Cape has to offer in wines or spirits, whatever tickles our fancy, and hopefully it'll tickle yours as well. Welcome back to Divine Intervention. This is the wine tasting podcast which takes you down to the Cape, uncorks or unscrews a bottle or two, and essentially a group of us have a lot of fun tasting, schlurping. If it's horrible, we'll tell you. If it's great, we will recommend it. Today we're trying the second white in a row. We tried a Sauvignon Blanc last week. This week we're trying a Chardonnay. But before I give any details of the wine, a bit of details of the people who will be tasting with me. We have down in the Cape, Michael Olifier, who is the recipient of the recent Lifetime Achievement Award from the Eat Out people. He's a well-known restaurateur, writer, schlurper, blogger, tweeter. Michael, how many hours of your waking life do you spend focusing on food and drink?
If I'm awake for 18 hours, about 17 hours and 59 minutes.
What a wonderful life you lead. And here with me in the Joburg studio, we have Gumtree's South African representative, certainly for the motor section of that online sales organization. He used to be with the RMI and will be well known to many people in the business community. Jeff Osborne. Jeff, great to chat to you again.
Good evening, John. Thank you very much. Great to be here.
And thanks for coming in. I know this is a schlep, second week in a row, but somehow you're managing to stand up to the pressure. Also with me, we have financial writer Gareth Stokes. Gareth, welcome. Great to chat to you again.
Good evening, John. Nice to see you guys again.
I refer to you as a financial writer. Do you want to qualify that in any way, or are you happy with that description?
Well, I'm quite happy with that at this stage. I mean, I do quite a bit of freelance financial writing in my previous life, or at least the last 7 years, and I continue to do so in my spare time. So.
Excellent. Well, thanks for joining us today. Okay, that's who's going to be slurping away. What will we be slurping? One of the iconic names from the Cape, one of the best-known brands in the South African wine business, Fleur du Cap, the flower of the Cape. And we're trying their unfiltered Chardonnay from 2013. Michael, what can you tell us about this?
Well, I think, first of all, the unfiltered is something that people usually are interested in, and that is simply because the winemakers believe that by pumping and by filtering wine from one tank to another, you lose flavor. So what they do with this wine is they simply settle the tanks out and then draw the wine off, settle it out and draw it off. So that covers the unfiltered part. It's made from 100% Chardonnay from blocks which they choose from their various producers. And what they do is they get it into the cellar, they look after the grapes really well, and then they put it into about 35% new oak barrels, and then the remainder are second and third fill barrels, but a total of 8 months in the barrel. And then what they do is they stir the lees in the barrel with a wooden baton, and in the French call it batonnage. So you land up with this wine that's sort of light straw colored. It's got some lime flashes around the edge. And then when you get it up to your nose, you have that classical citrus of Chardonnay. I think of them as sort of windfall oranges, but there's usually a little bit of limes at the end there as well. And then, of course, the tropical fruit, the more sort of like the white fleshed peaches and melon. And then you have that sort of undertow of oak spice and vanilla. Nice full-bodied wine, complex, layered, and just masses of fruit. And the wood in the background, they're just balancing the whole thing out perfectly.
As you know, Michael, normally I say it's nice or it ain't, but just to add to your citrus collection, I detect a bit of grapefruit. Am I right there?
Yeah, but certainly in a young wine. They call that pyrazines, but yes, absolutely.
And it's a Chardonnay. Now, Chardonnay was wonderfully fashionable for a while. These days, maybe a bit less so, but I have to say, this is a lovely wine. It's beautifully balanced. It's got a complexity to it that maybe one wouldn't expect to find in a white wine. One might have expected a red to have a greater array of flavors and aromas. This is very, very nice indeed. And it's light enough, I think, to drink on its own. But what would you serve it with?
Well, I think you could actually serve this with veal, pork, seafood, particularly a nice roast chicken, and you could even have sort of pork with a sort of a spicy fruit-based sauce with it happily. I'd just like to mention one thing. We're talking about Chardonnay being unpopular, and what happened in the early days here was the winemakers were using very young vines, and they tended to overwood the Chardonnay. So there was this huge presence of wood and not much presence of fruit. And I was talking to Dani De Vet the other day, who knows the sort of the uber guru of Chardonnay in South Africa. And he told me that the unwooded Chardonnays are really increasing in popularity in a big way.
Well, that's encouraging to hear, because it's always nice to have a variety, and certainly that's one of the aims of our podcast, Michael, to try to introduce people to stuff that they wouldn't necessarily pluck off a shelf, but
absolutely.
Certainly it can be a rewarding experience.
Yeah.
Gareth, what are you making of this Fleur de Cap Unfiltered Chardonnay 2013?
Well, I'm really enjoying it, and I must be honest, I've had 3 or 4 tastes while you guys were talking in that long intro. Definitely I'm getting it's definitely full-bodied, and I must say I'm getting more of the woody taste than the fruity taste, but I think it's very, very good.
Long intro. I thought it was detailed and informative. Didn't you, Jeff Osman?
Yeah, it's interesting that Gareth suggests that the woody side for him is quite pronounced. I, by contrast, reflect on the comments made by Michael reflect my impression that the woodiness is very subtle, which is certainly my preference, and where early Chardonnay is concerned, I kind of went off them for that very reason, and this one I think is extremely subtle and pleasant to the palate, and it does bring out the other features of the wine. And I would agree with the citrus aspect of it, but highly drinkable, very pleasant indeed.
That actually, Jeff, is why I suggested that because it's not too wooded, it's not something you need to mask with food or to accompany with food. I'd be very happy just to sip on this all afternoon, particularly if it's nicely chilled on a hot summer's day.
Indeed, I'll have some more.
I'm sure we can arrange that after the tasting, but we need you upright for the next 10 minutes or so. Michael Olivier, we've already gone into Chardonnay and its popularity or lack of fashionability, and hopefully it's renaissance now. In terms of the wine lists that you study, and I know you've been a convener of wine list awards in the past, Where would you expect to see a Chardonnay? Would you expect it to be one of the dominant white varietals on a wine list? Or these days, might one expect the Sauvignon Blancs or maybe the Chenin Blancs or maybe the blends to dominate?
Well, I think, ultimately, you want a good balance of all. But I think I would certainly hope that a restaurant would have wooded Chardonnays, perhaps a more sort of regally wooded, full-bodied Chardonnay, a one that's perhaps a lighter wooded one, and then a couple that are unwooded. Sauvignon Blanc is a very popular wine type, so you'd expect to have a good selection. There are one or two which are wooded, which just adds a bit of extra interest. I love a list that has Chenin Blanc on it, because I think that Chenin Blanc is the biggest in the national vineyard, planted 6 times more than in France. So I like to see a list that's got a good whack of Chenin Blanc on it as well.
And Michael, in terms of food, I've always thought of Chardonnay, particularly the French wines, which are made in the Burgundy region from the Chardonnay grape, as being excellent companions to seafood. I could imagine a groaning platter of mixed seafood, crustaceans and so on, and a glass or maybe even several glasses of this to accompany it. Is that a good pairing in your mind?
Yeah, very good. Very good. But then, you know, if you look at the way the Portuguese make their wines, they're very sort of specific. And if you go up into the north, where there's a tremendous amount of seafood, You've got the Vigno Verde, which is very much like our Sauvignon Blanc, crisp, fresh, delicious wines.
Okay, Gareth, you've been trying this unfiltered Chardonnay. If you were to serve it at home or order it in a restaurant, what would you like to have on the plate in front of you?
I think very much what we've just been discussing. I mean, there's not that many more ways that we can say it, but it sounds like it'll go down good with the lionfish of the day at your favorite restaurant, I reckon. Probably also go well with whatever you choose for your main, if you're that way inclined.
Well, I'm inclined to eat lots of main courses, sadly, as you can tell from looking at me. Michael Oliver, I was thinking maybe even you did a very good recipe on your website recently for a pork in Calvados. I think even that would pair quite nicely with this Chardonnay.
Absolutely.
One always thinks of fish and white wine and red wine with red meat, but you can be a bit more adventurous. Maybe there are even desserts which would go well with this Chardonnay.
Yeah, I'd have to think a bit to find one. But
well, while you're thinking, let's bring in Jeff Osborne. Jeff, have you ever felt under the diktat of these wine Nazis who think that you've got to have some very, very specified pairing? After all, for most people, you may have a bottle of wine in the house, you may have something you've either bought from a supermarket or cooked last night and you're about to reheat, and you're not going to go to a great deal of effort for a sophisticated pairing, but nonetheless, you can still have a pleasant meal by breaking a few of these traditional rules.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm pleased to hear you say that, because those are precisely my sentiments. Over the years, I kind of reached a stage where I almost abhor this stereotyping pairing that has to go with certain meals. I think it depends on your preference and the particular occasion. But for me, where I think this is really going to pair extremely well, is the sushi. I'm thinking of a sushi,
yes,
salmon and tuna. I think it's going to go very well with that.
As long as it's well done. That's how I like my sushi, I'm afraid. I've never quite understood this.
On rare occasions, it's well done.
You're talking to a man who's been to Japan and used to go to McDonald's in refuge because the use of the English language there is not that widespread, and my Japanese is non-existent. And I beg your pardon. And they of course at McDonald's in Japan, you have these menus you can point at, so you can actually point at what you want to buy. But having said that, I also had some really magnificent Japanese food when I was there as well. And I agree with you. This wine would I think, with as long as it's not too spiced, would go very well with an Asian meal. Michael, you're our guru. What are your thoughts?
Certainly, I'm a real sushi freak, and this is a wine that would certainly be very, very happy with sushi.
Well, every time I'm served sushi, I tend to think of it as a raw deal, but that is just me. I've never understood it. I fully respect those who love it, and I'm delighted if you have your sushi while I have my steak, Michael. And I would even drink a glass of this Chardonnay with it. I don't think it would be out of place, because I think this is a nice, complex, several-dimension wine. Before we go, just remind us, Fleur du Cap, it's not an estate, it's a brand.
It's a brand, yeah. And it is, in fact, a very attractive old property in Somerset West with probably an Edwardian house on it, which was started by Distillers Corporation at the time under Dr. Anton Rupert. And they couldn't get a quota for a growing quota. So they planted rootstock there, and it became very well known as a supplier of vineyard rootstock to producers. But yeah, it is a brand, and the wines are all made in Stellenbosch in the big distill winery there.
Well, unfortunately, we are going to have to go off and have sushi, steak, and whatever else tickles our fancy with the rest of this bottle. But that was the Fleur du Cap Unfiltered Chardonnay 2013 we've been drinking. Down in the Cape, our food and wine guru, Michael Oliphant. Michael, as always, thanks for joining us.
Such a pleasure, John.
And with me in the Joburg studio, we had Gareth Stokes. Gareth, great to chat to you again.
Thanks a lot, John.
And Jeff Osborne.
Thank you, John.
And although I say this far too rarely, it is not for lack of appreciation. Many thanks to our technical guru here in Joburg, Malcolm MacDonald, who has done so much to make sure that these podcasts are at least you can at least understand some of what we're saying before we get too drunk. I'm John Fraser. This has been Divine Intervention.